Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this October the 21st on the West Coast and October the 22nd now on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome all those listening in tonight on Wind Talkers Radio Network. We know why you're tuned in, because you love the show, or you love tonight's guest. And I'm going to go right into bringing him on the show tonight. He hosts his own show on Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com, the number one show on that network, actually both networks. And quite popular here on Evident Footprints. The name of his show is A Marine's Disquisition, heard around the world, and you could say really every day of the week, depending on what time zone you're in. He does broadcast six nights a week, or afternoons, or mornings, depending on where you are around the world, and hosts a website, amd.elequity, and he publishes a daily news and views, which on Thursdays includes the International Forecaster, written by the financial expert Bob Chapman. And I'm happy and proud to have him as a friend and a regular guest on the show. And I welcome again tonight former U.S. Marine from 1967 through 1977, Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And welcome to all my Marines around the world. Semper Fi. And most of you want to know, what's his rank? What's his rank? Well, when you leave the Marine Corps, guys, there is no rank. Whether you're retired or you resign. Whether you quit because your contract's terminated. And it's one of those things that I learned a long time ago. One of those things I found some research on with Major General Smedley Darlington Butler. And I use Major General Smedley Darlington Butler's rank because I feel he was murdered. And with his 30 years of service in the United States Marine Corps, he deserves to be called Major General Smedley Darlington Butler. And unless you're walking around with a full retirement of over 30 years, as far as I'm concerned, when you leave the service, anything less than 30 years, then, and there are retirements out there for under 30, but as far as I'm concerned, you're civilians. When you give half your life to the Marine Corps and retire and then are murdered before you turn the age of 60, then I feel that you should be remembered. Nobody leaves the Marine Corps with a rank. This is, you become a civilian again. And once you become a civilian, you utilize the terms of service and the honorable discharge. That's fine. I don't care about that. The rest of it doesn't mean anything. And I appreciate you, Don, for letting me come on the show. You've had some fantastic shows this week. We've sat back and listened and not participated and thought the shows were just, you know, fantastic. Heard you on Dr. A. True Ott's show this week and your conversation with Dr. Ott Monday, and I want to let the audience know that I support 100% Dr. Ott and Don Nikoloff, as well as BBS Radio. Granted that I'm not on the network, but that's okay.
You're on the network right now.
We're out here just a bunch of Marines just sitting around letting each other know what the truth is and passing words and verbiage around each other. How's that for you, Don?
Well, you're on the network right now, so, in fact, you're on.
No, I am? Head gum. I was wondering what that was around my feet.
Well, you've had some great shows yourself. Now, you know, referencing Dr. Ott's show, I wanted to spend maybe just a couple of minutes on this topic. You know, the Jonathan Irish, Stephanie Taylor, and Baby Cheyenne saga taking place in Concord, New Hampshire.
No, full well about it.
And I got to, for those listeners that didn't hear the show that I did with Dr. Ott last night, we talked about that. And Jonathan was on, and I was doing research in real time while I was explaining. First, I had explained to the listeners what these CPS scams are all about, and the corruption in the courts, and on and on, and it goes all the way to Wall Street. And Jonathan was listening very quietly, very intently, and when he began speaking, I started just doing a little bit of research, following the leads he was giving as he was talking, and it didn't take me 5 minutes, Drew, to come up with some names, and he confirmed what I said, and I had pulled out a grandmother's name, which was used as an alias for a man, and he said that's the ex or the husband's grandmother's name, and he happened to know for a fact that when he was a 9-year-old boy, the husband received a mortgage to a house. In other words, the mortgage to the grandmother's house was in a 9-year-old's name.
I've seen that.
So
the real estate broker, I've seen that many times.
Yeah. So that's 29 years ago that occurred by the age.
Okay.
Give you an idea how long this has been going on. Certainly it's been going on longer than that. Goes back into the research I did on Eisenhower and even before Eisenhower. So this is a very serious problem, and they're not telling the truth to the American people of what's going on with these mortgages. And it's a lot more corrupt because of the international connections and the money laundering that goes on with some of the foreign banks, which they all play a role together. But I was honored to be able to speak to them and assured him that we were going to continue to pray for them, because this thing isn't over. They'll probably try to get them to walk away without saying anything about it. And we need to draw attention to the fact that this is nothing but organized crime. Your thoughts?
I believe 100%. That's exactly what you hit a nail on the head, everybody, with a sledgehammer. Organized crime to the max.
Yes. So even though it hasn't touched some or most people, it's touched a lot of people. This is big business. And I think a lot of the people who are victims of this don't know what to do. They can't afford to hire an attorney, or an attorney won't take the case because maybe on some level in a previous time, he or she may have been involved in the scam or may currently be involved in the scam. And, you know, the judges, when they retire from their judgeships, often go before another judge when they begin taking up their legal practice, as they like to call it, and so they will also make decisions on the basis of what could happen to them in the future when they go back into law practice before another judge, because sometimes the judge that they're going to face is an attorney that they're ruling against. Now it's so corrupt, the system. You know, it's set up for their benefit, not for the people. I know what you would have done had you had a child abducted like that. That's just kidnapping and assault, sexual assault on top of it, on top of everything else.
Amen. Old
baby. And they're going to say the parents aren't fit, you know. I get fired up, so we can't spend too much time on that. But, you know, if you want to comment, by all means, go ahead.
Comment? I got a fire ant pit out here and a dirty, greasy rope. Okay. Is that common enough?
Yeah, that says it all.
I'll let the audience figure out what I plan on doing with it.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, that can't understand, those of us that come from my world of morality, read the Bible. I mean, it's as bad as the woman up there in, Michigan, I believe, the lady in Michigan, a lawsuit was filed against her. You know, and what was she doing? She was running an ad at her church seeking a, quote, Christian roommate. What has this nation become when a believer in Christ, a believer in God, runs an ad for a Christian roommate at her church, and members of the church sues her, okay, because she uses the term Christian roommate. And in the civil lawsuit, they made some stupid comment that, well, the statement expresses an illegal preference for a Christian roommate, thus excluding people of other faith, according to the complaint filed by the Fair Housing Center of Western Michigan. This is outrageous, ladies and gentlemen. This is clearly, we the people have a right to pick and choose who we want to be our mate with us. Me personally, I wouldn't even think about taking an atheist for dinner. And if somebody came to dinner and was an atheist, I'd most likely ignore them most of the dinner. Unless it was my party, and then I'd probably ask them to leave. If a 31-year-old woman can't run an ad seeking a Christian faith-based marriage partner for the rest of her life, we got a problem in this nation, because this nation was based on Christianity. Somebody show me in the Constitution, anybody, I'll give you every dime I got in the bank. I'll give you my $20,000 roadster. And I guarantee you that you're not going to find it. Show me in the Constitution where specifically it says that the state and the church should be separated. Just show me the exact words where the state and the church should be separated. And this is all the play of these lawyers and atheists out here that are bringing turmoil to your lives. Anyone reads the Founding Fathers document. Anyone reads the Founding Fathers document. They opened their meetings with prayer. Many times they would stop in the middle of the day and pray. Whenever there was a snack brought in, they didn't just chomp down on the snacks. John Jay and James Madison kept perfect records and notes of the Constitutional Convention. And they must have prayed four times a day on some days. And nobody stood up and said, well, I don't think we should be praying. You know, if you read this lady's article looking for a Christian and you weren't a Christian, you would know right up front that you weren't welcome to ask her out. I mean, that's point blank. But somebody that's an atheist is going to tell me that, oh, well, if she put Christian in a thing, then that's against my rights. Well, wait a minute. What about her rights? And what's the biggest thing out there, Don? What's the biggest thing out there that bothers you on during the week on distraction? Do you have a pet peeve?
I got a bunch of them, Drew.
Oh, man, I tell you, my biggest pet peeve is when is this madness over football? When medical doctors come out and say, "Oh, I'm going to offer all the game officials that's been officiating these Arkansas Razorbacks, I'm going to give them all free laser surgery." It appears that they can't see. It's just a game. 50 years ago, it was a game. 70 years ago, it was a game. Now it's gotten to be big business to where, well, the university has to win these games, so we've got money coming in. We got 80 or 90 or 100,000 people that go to a game. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you stop and think about it. When you've got 100,000 people at a ball game at $20 a ticket, I don't know what the math is in your book, but that's not chump change. Don?
Mm-hmm. Well, they get, depending on what bowl game they get and what kind of backdoor deals, you know, they'll get at least $1 million, maybe several million dollars.
That's $3 million for TV rights, $2 million in ticket sales, $5 million in food sales. When you go to a ball game these days, you can't get a hot dog for a dollar. Forget McDonald's selling their cheap hot dog cheap hamburger for a buck, or Coney Islander selling their dogs for a dollar. You're lucky to walk anywhere in that stadium and get a hot dog for $10. And a Coke will cost you $7. And, a hot dog or a hamburger. I mean, this is ludicrous. It's greed. And we've got people out here that are going hungry on the streets. We got people out here that are homeless because of the mental lapse that they're having. You know, as many people go out, do they ever think about the military people that are coming home that are homeless?
No, they don't, do they?
No. You know, just recently I learned of a sergeant, former United States Marine who served in Iraq, going to a movie theater. And when he goes to the theater with his wife, he goes up and down the aisle and goes through the seats looking for the possibility that the seat might be wired for explosives. He's actually gone up and done a search on an Arab. Now, I can understand the apprehension and the anxiety of a Muslim in a female in a sharif, in one of those scarves that cover their heads. Okay? I can see his anxiety in that situation. But he takes the man and does a body search on him because he's basically and his anxiety. Okay? These are things that most people don't pay any attention about. Right now, in the United States, we've got female members of the armed forces that are homeless on the street. I met one Tuesday this week. I talked with Dr. Gay Larned in California today. She ran across one. A 31-year-old Army helicopter pilot, former captain, United States pilot. And ladies and gentlemen, she had been on the streets for 8 months and wouldn't take any help from Dr. Gay. Dr. Gay offered her a coat, offered to buy her dinner. She was too proud. a former captain in the United States Army. This is not some what do you think that's going on in America? This is an educated woman with a college degree.
Now, does she not have a pension coming to her? Were you able to find out anything along those lines, or?
Say what?
Does she not have a pension coming to her?
Nope. She has, yeah, she has the right to collect on the PTSD problem, okay, but nobody sat down and talked to her about it. Nobody's sitting down and offering the, hey, Marine, hey, Army, hey, Navy, hey, Air Force. And it's not just the Marine Corps and the Army. It's the Air Force and the Navy, as well as the Coast Guard and the National Guard. These people, male and female, across America, you see them out there. They're sitting next to a tree, and it looks like they're taking a lounge break. But you're too afraid to walk over there because, wow, their clothes look a little dirty. Their hair looks a little muffled. Just too much so to be a woman. And we're not talking about, you know, big fat women or big fat men. These people are mostly slender and underweight. The woman that I befriended on Tuesday was very attractive. Very afraid. Because as I walked up, I am a big guy. And as I walked up, it was like I could see her kind of cringe and go up against the tree. It was obvious that somewhere along the line she'd been beaten up and possibly accosted by somebody or by a number of people. United States Army Reserve, two tours, and she couldn't. She lost her home. She lost her husband. She's got problems. Fortunately, I was able to help her go toward her brother. I don't have a lot of money. She only needed $40 to go with the rest of her money to go to continue her trip on a bus to West Virginia. Oh, I had $40. And I took her to the bus station. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I'm trying to tell you, the listening audience, we got a problem with this administration, the previous two administrations, not helping our soldiers and military. We got a problem with America not helping the people, but they got millions and billions for banksters. Banksters who've never even seen boot camp of any military branch. Banksters and their executives and their girlfriends and their housewives and their concubines, their pedophile servants. We've got time to go out there and support the gay pride queers and homosexual lovers of congressmen and senators, but we haven't got time to protect the military men and women who come home that are doing their bidding, the bidding of these evil elitists. And right now in France, Don, the people over there, they've had enough. In the Netherlands, in Germany, they've had enough of the queers, the lesbians, the homophobias, pedophiles, and I've had enough. But who's going to pull the trigger first, ladies and gentlemen? Somebody is going to pull the trigger. And those of you, well, the queers and homosexuals, and they all have a right to get out there and literally make obscene gestures in front of your 6-year-old children or 9-year-old children or your teenage boys and girls. Oh, well, it's all right to be queer and lesbians and pedophiles until they rape your daughter or your son. That's when you get mad, but you won't do anything when you've got the legal right to get out there and say, we've got to put a stop to these queers and these lesbians walking down Bourbon Street, holding on to each other's privates, raunching each other, jumping on the back of each other, and mimicking a sexual intercourse act like two dogs. That's got to stop. This was a moral nation, is a moral nation, should be turned to a moral nation. And everybody said, well, they got their rights. They may have their rights in their private bedroom. I don't care what they do, what anybody does in their private room, as long as they're not beating up somebody. And they're having their little liaison with somebody of age. That's somebody out there that is pimping themselves off like a 14-year-old girl or a 14-year-old boy in New York just to put a meal in their stomach for a few hours and go down the street and buy drugs so they can turn around and do it all over again. 13-year-old girl, New York City, arrested for prostitution, turning six tricks a day. Makes the comment, well, two tricks is for her to buy food every day. Two tricks is to pay the rent. And two tricks is to pay the drugs that she needs to go through it again the next day. 13 years old. And has no problem. Quote, unquote, I have 10 regulars.
Well,
10 regulars.
Yeah. And think about
Wall Street.
Think about 6-day-old Cheyenne.
Being
accosted by a foster home.
And where in the world, where do we get off allowing all this foster home BS? These are people, this Child Protective Services is nothing but people that protect their job. They can't go out there and protect children that really need help. They've got to go solicit new clients to some excuse that they're doing their job. Sorry, I got a dirty rope from a big fire ant pit out here. And those of you that don't know what a fire ant is, look it up on the net. Fire ant. Big as your thumb.
Drew, I'm going to give you a moment to catch your breath. And I'm going to play something here. This is a piece entitled, it's got two titles, actually, Reflections, and Those Voices Don't Speak for the Rest of Us. Have a listen to this.
Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves.
Give us more authority and more ability.
All of this talk about rules, we make them up as we go along.
A government can't control the economy without controlling people. And they know when a government sets out to do that, it must use force and coercion to achieve its purpose.
Put the legislation together to control the people.
We go through the gate's closed, we'll go over the fence is too high, we'll pole vault in. If that doesn't work, we'll parachute in, but we're going to get health care reform passed.
They also knew, those founding fathers, that outside of its legitimate functions, government does nothing as well or as economically as the private sector of the economy.
There needs to be a focus on an immediate increase in spending.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
The more the plans fail, the more the planners plan.
You're telling me we got to go spend money to keep from going bankrupt? The answer, yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
We have so many people who can't see a fat man standing beside a thin one without coming to the conclusion the fat man got that way by taking advantage of the thin one.
I think there are a lot of very rich people out there who we can tax at a point down the road and recover some of this money.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
They'll be crying out for public options.
It's the cost, I think, of having the kind of America that we want to have.
Our natural, unalienable rights are now considered to be a dispensation of government. And freedom has never been so fragile, so close to slipping from our grasp as it is at this moment.
I don't worry about the Constitution on this, to be honest.
What good is reading the bill if it's 1,000 pages?
We have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Those voices don't speak for the rest of us. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth.
There have been times where America's shown arrogance.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the Founding Fathers.
Now, that's obviously a slanted message. It's slanted in the favor of the Republican Party. But I would submit to you, Drew, and to the listening audience that there's a lot of truth in that. But did the Republican Party follow or heed the words of Ronald Reagan? And why was Reagan saying all that if we had George Bush for 4 years and then his son for 8 years with a corrupt liberal in there for 8 years in between?
And think about this. Ronald Reagan did not want George Herbert Walker Bush as his running mate, period.
Mm-hmm.
But he was forced on him. Yeah.
Well, that's obvious.
So?
That's obvious. Well, you know, you listen to these statements. We need the money. We have to have the money. That's all they talk about is money, isn't it? All
right.
They talk about is money. Ways. Oh, they'll present it to us, you know, in a convenient manner. We have to have the money for health care. Who has to pay the money for that? You know, forcing you to buy something that you may not want, you may not need, something you wouldn't choose for yourself. I mean, it's just organized crime is all it is. That's all it is. It doesn't matter what topic we talk about. We can talk about chemtrails. I got a report that there's lithium in the chemtrails now. Lithium. Now, lithium is often used in certain types of psychotic drugs. I call them psychotic drugs because they're used for people who have, for whatever reason, maybe a bipolar disorder because of some injection they received or something they're eating and their body's not reacting properly. It's reacting to toxins, and you have to ask yourself the question, why are they putting lithium? There's another substance that I've not been able to identify, but I'm told I'll have a report on it. It's a crystalline substance that's been put in, a blue crystalline substance. Now, there's a heck of a lot of chemtrail spraying going on across the country in the last 2 days, and there was a heck of a lot of dispersing, neutralization of the chemtrails going on too. They were in,
well. See, there's been conversations with former pilots that have gotten together, Air Force, Army, and Marine Corps pilots that have sat back and discussed the fact that these chemtrails could possibly be used to help mask the travel or the atmosphere hiding large maneuvers of extraterrestrial aircraft. And they've discussed this openly. I've been privy to a couple of those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, they've come out and they said, yes, even especially those chemtrails that go across the sky and don't turn around and come back. They go across the United States. That makes a lot of sense, does it not?
Yeah.
So,
Well, we'll stay.
Life goes on.
Yeah, we'll stay on top of that. I'm gonna share a lighthearted story. Now, the way this is written as if this story would have been a video. It would have been on America's Funniest Home Videos. This is to teach us to accept any kind of insanity any kind of illogical behavior on the part of people who should know better. This comes from the News Tribune. This is written by Rebecca Dudley. My ex-husband had this annoying habit of bringing greasy old carburetors and things into the house to work on. So last week, when my friend called to tell me the story, my first response was, "Where did this guy live?" Now, reassured that I was never related to him by marriage, this really is too hilarious not to share. The way my friend told it, this guy pushed his motorcycle from the patio into his living room, where he began to clean the engine with some rags and a bowl of gasoline. When he finished, he sat on the motorcycle and decided to start it up to make sure everything was still okay. Unfortunately, the bike started in gear and crashed through the glass patio door with him still clinging to the handlebars. His wife had been working in the kitchen. She came running at the noise and found him crumpled on the patio, badly cut from the shards of broken glass. She called 911, and the paramedics transported the guy to the emergency room. Now, keep in mind, this is being described as hilarious. So far, the story is humorous in a that is what you get for being a big enough lout to bring your motorcycle into the house kind of way. But here is where I really split a gut. Later that afternoon, after many stitches had been, pulled her husband back together, the wife brought him home and put him to bed. She cleaned up the mess in the living room and dumped the bowl of gasoline in the toilet. Shortly thereafter, her husband woke up, lit a cigarette, and went into the bathroom. He sat down and tossed the cigarette into the toilet, which promptly exploded because the wife had not flushed the gasoline away. The explosion blew the man through the bathroom door. The wife heard the explosion and her husband's screams. She ran into the hall and found him lying on the floor with his trousers blown away and burns on his buttocks. The wife again ran to the phone and called for an ambulance. The same two paramedics were dispatched to the scene. They loaded the husband on the stretcher and began carrying him to the street. One of them asked the wife how the injury had occurred. When she told them, they began laughing so hard that they dropped the stretcher and broke the guy's collarbone. Talk about instant karma. Now, listening to this, let's say that this story is true. Do you find the behavior and just the general way that everybody, including whoever wrote this, put this thing together, to be normal? Is this what we're accepting as reality now? Still there, Drew? Oh, I guess Drew is stepped away from the microphone for a moment. So he missed this. All right. Well, I'm sure he'll let me know when he gets back. So hopefully. Are you back with us, Drew? Sounds like you're back. Did we lose you or...
Well, I sent you a message, but you didn't pay attention to it.
Well, I was in the middle of reading something.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I'm back.
All right. Okay. Well, I don't know if you heard the whole story or not, but
I had to walk away at about halfway through.
And not a good time.
Okay, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes, the Lord hits you. You just have to move, okay?
All right. Well,
for the lack of a better term.
The gist of the story is this guy was fixing his motorcycle in his living room. After he finished repairing the carburetor, he started it up in the house, drove it through a patio window, went to the hospital for stitches, came back, went to bed. His wife cleaned up the mess, dumped gasoline from a container he had emptied it in when he disconnected the hoses to the carburetor, poured it in the toilet. The guy got up and used the toilet later on, threw a cigarette butt in there while he was sitting on the toilet.
Oh, my Lord.
And it blew him through the bathroom door. The paramedics came to pick him up, the same two that picked him up on the first call after the stitches, and asked how the accident occurred. And when they were told, they laughed and dropped him and also broke his collarbone.
Oh, God.
Okay, and I posed the question to you or to your headset, which didn't have ears attached. That a story like this, if it had been on video, probably would have made America's Funniest Home Videos.
Oh, they'd probably win the $10,000 prize in a heartbeat.
Yeah, they're trying to condition us to just accept all kinds of aberrant behavior just as funny. And I had asked you your thoughts on that, especially paramedics that laugh so hard that they just drop the guy.
Behind the scenes, paramedics have some pretty good jokes with all the sadness that they work with. But if that guy had any luck, if that was the best luck he had, he wouldn't need any enemies out there. For sure.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, somebody sent me that little story. I thought I would read it to the listeners.
Sounds like something that Marianne Potter would send.
Well, you think you had a bad day, right?
Yeah. You think you got a bad day? Here, I can see her typing that out. You think you had it bad today? Here's one.
Well.
Oh, my Lord. So, Don, we got warnings out there, and that's what a lot of my listeners are glued to the microphones and the earpieces and the telephones and the constant search and the questions asked. Why aren't talk show hosts talking about the people dying in Florida, in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Texas from the Gulf War syndrome, not the Gulf War, the Gulf of Mexico syndrome, i.e. the BP big oil gas bill? Why aren't the news media talking about the fact that you dig 6 inches over the white sands in Panama Beach, Florida, and you find a corexit? Why aren't anybody talking about the fact that there have been no, repeat, there have been no hurricanes, tropical storms come across the Gulf of Mexico this entire hurricane season? Oh, granted, it's only a few days old, a few days from being over for the year, but where's all the massive amount of hurricanes that the government was predicting back in April, Don?
Well, they've been warned about using HAARP.
You know?
They've been warned about using HAARP. And we've talked about that on some shows. Now, I'll say this. Last evening, CNN ran some kind of a special showing BP cleaning up the marshlands. And what they were doing was cutting down the grass, the tall grass, so they wouldn't have to spray anything on it to get the oil off of it. But how are they doing it? What are they using? They're probably spraying more corexit on it.
Yeah.
Right there in the marshland.
And the oil is there, ladies and gentlemen. It's not on the top of the surface because the corexit broke it up and it sank below the surface 16 to 20 feet. And yet fish are dying. Birds are dying. what's going to happen when the migration of ducks come up from South America here as we speak, or go, I shouldn't say come up, go down to South America from Canada. Massive flyway. Ducks that land in the marshes of Louisiana and then continue down into Mexico. They rest on the salt water. They don't drink the salt water, but they rest on it. What's the air going to be like when they have to fly through that? It's those that don't rest. The air problem, ladies and gentlemen, is pretty darn bad in the Gulf of Mexico. We've had three tropical storms form in the Gulf of Mexico. Now, in a normal year, 12 to 14 tropical storms. Now, these are storms that never reach hurricane strength. They're just rainstorms, tropical depressions that feed rain into Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, even Arkansas, up into Oklahoma. This hasn't been this dry in Arkansas since I've lived here. It's been 45 days, and we've had 2 days of rain in 45 days, one day before yesterday. And the other one, 45 days ago. And I'm telling you, God has pulled his veil of protection away from America because we aren't doing our due diligence. We are not protecting the reason that this nation was founded. We're not protecting our own soldiers. I was talking to a Gulf War I vet today at the vet center who has an anxiety problem because of the Gulf War I. And I'm sitting there with another Vietnam veteran, and he looks up and says, "Wow, you're the old guys." I looked over at him and I says, "We're the old guys. How many men died in Gulf War I? I mean, this doesn't take anything away from anybody that dies in war. But in Vietnam, ladies and gentlemen, in 1968, we were losing 500 men a day. 500 men a day across Vietnam. Just last 3 days, we lost 10 Marines. From one battalion from Camp Pendleton that had been in country in Afghanistan less than 50 days. It's the highest 3-day mortality rate of any battalion of Marines since Vietnam in one day, with the exception of the blow up of Beirut. When the Marine compound was blown up. And that is a sham all to itself. I have a problem with the way our government is being run. I have a problem with the leadership that we have. Somebody tells me you got to have a PhD to be a general, and I tell you, kiss my grits. Give me an Audie Murphy. Give me a Chesty Puller. Never served in college. Never went to college. I got news for you. The best generals, the best leaders that the United States have fought for the wrong side in the war of Northern aggression. They were gentlemen, and they thought, then they felt war was hell. Robert E. Lee, General Beauregard, General Anderson, General Chenault, fought the northern invaders, outnumbered 80 to 1, and licked them. I mean, beat the living snot out of them for 3.5 years. But they did not stay on the battlefield just to see killing going on. Today, we don't bother to pull our troops back. Even after we're winning, it's slaughter, slaughter, slaughter. America is responsible for over 1 million Arabs in 3 countries dying. 1 million. 1,122,000 Arabs have died in the last 7 years because of us, and we've lost a little over 5,000. And we're giving millions of money, of dollars that we don't have to Syria, to Israel, millions of dollars to Pakistan for their armor. The United States, Pentagon, today, on My News and Views. You just go to My News and Views, ladies and gentlemen. On My News and Views today, the Pentagon gave hundreds of millions of dollars. Away. Along with the blessings of Barack Hussein Obama. And when I say they gave away hundreds of millions of dollars, they gave away hundreds of millions of dollars in grants to the Saudis in return for the Saudis to buy $60 billion worth of guns from the United States. Guns and aircraft and tanks. We in America are the warmongers. We're the Nazis of the 21st century. But we can't protect our border. We can't take care of our people in Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, or Florida, or California, or even Florida from the massive amount of invasion across from Cuba. Obama's best, the best thing Obama can do is comes out and says, well, we need to warn the citizens on the Mexican border to stay indoors because of the massive amount of killing that's being done on the borders. And they're doing that, ladies and gentlemen. When sundown comes, people that live within 30 miles of the border, especially those that live in and around El Paso and Monterey, other border towns all up and down Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, even California, with the largest military naval base in the world in San Diego. Women scurry to get their kids inside because of the murdering that's going on the Mexican side of the border, and the bullets are flying over into our country. And we're not doing anything, but we're guarding poppy seeds. We're guarding poppy plants. We're guarding hundreds of thousands of acres of marijuana. At the same time, we're putting our own young men and women in jail because they had an ounce of marijuana in their car. An ounce of marijuana. 20 years in jail. This is madness. And judges, we gotta give amnesty to that judge. He really didn't know what he was doing when he had that woman come in and give him oral sex while he was doing court, so she wouldn't go to jail for 5 years. And what was her crime? Oh, by the way, she was just robbing a 7-Eleven store for the third time. The judge didn't want to give her 5 years in jail because she was too darn pretty. She said, a pretty woman shouldn't be in jail. You come into court on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays and give me a little oral sex, and we'll put you on probation. You know, that happened in California. And yet they want to give the judge amnesty for his immorality. And the judges on the Ninth Circuit, they're hearing gun cases tomorrow to see if people that have the right to keep and bear arms can walk their dog in a park. When in the, we're talking about Hermosa Beach. And for those of you that don't know how what the crime rate is, get in touch with the L.A. County Police Department and look up Hermosa Beach and Redondo Beach and see what the crime activity is up and down that beach. Got news for you. If I lived in Redondo Beach, which you couldn't pay me to live there, or Hermosa Beach, I wouldn't walk the streets without wearing a pistol underneath my coat. And they want to make it a law. Don, have you ever heard of a criminal abiding by a law with a big old sign up there saying, no guns allowed? Well, the only people that no guns allowed mean is if you're an honest, moral citizen and you're in this park, you're unarmed and you're begging for somebody to come through the bushes and grab your girlfriend and rape her right in front of you. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, that happened 17 times last year on the beaches of California, where two men in 17 different instances, that's 34 different men. And then there were another 17 men that committed the rape of their girlfriend while they held the man down and made him watch while all three of them raped his girl. You don't hear that in the mainstream media. Well, no, they don't talk about that, Don.
To answer your question about whether or not I've heard of a criminal abiding by a law, just look at Washington and Wall Street. There's your answer.
Yeah, our government will go out there and give billions of dollars to big banks. And yet they won't help the little guy, and the big banks are kicking people out of their homes who are not near as irresponsible as the bankers were. Oh, and here's another one for you. Government Motors Company. Where's the big scam here, Don? I discovered it today. Big Government Motors, i.e. GMC. They were taken over by the government. Well, guess what? 13 plants that GMC closed down have got waste disposal dumps that are going to cost the United States government several billion dollars to clean up because the government now owns them.
I heard 51% of the stock is in the short-legged Mac Daddy's name. Is that true? Have you heard that report?
The report, 51%?
Mm-hmm.
No, I hadn't heard that. Not in his name.
Kind of, yeah. That's what I've heard.
And then the Chinese, I'm sorry, the Russians. I knew about the Russians coming to the United States with their geologists looking at the uranium mines the United States has 3 months ago, and I just gapped it off. I mean, so they're looking to how we mine uranium. But in all actuality, they were coming here to investigate the possible purchasing, and now it's all over the place. The Russians are making an offer to Obama to buy the uranium mines. What lunacy do we have here? Does that mean the Russians get to move the uranium out of the country?
It's just insane.
And for the first time in 70 years, Connecticut, the people of Connecticut are madder than a hatter, because the state anti-gun law, okay, is now being looked at being overturned because the massive amount of citizens in Connecticut are up in arms over the horrific home invasion murders of a family. And it's all being played out in the court. And gun sales and gun permits are up over 700% in Connecticut. People are not only scared, they're mad in America. And yet, Don, my question is, how many people are going to get off their posteriors and go out and vote here in just 13 days?
And who are they going to vote for? That's the big question.
That's the $100,000 question. Are they going to vote them all out? Are the American people are going to stand up and say, sir, no, sir? Are they going to go out and mimic the movie Network? Go to the window now, raise the window, stick your head out, and say, hell no, I'm not going to take it anymore. In the blistering rain across the United States. And the news anchor, the producer says, "What are they saying anything on the radio stations?" And you hear a girl in the background coming. They're screaming in Baton Rouge. And it's across America. People are mad, but it's time to get up and do something. That's where we are, Don.
Yeah.
And I don't see anything. We got one last shot these last 13 days. We get rid of all these governors that have been in office that have put up with this manure from Governor Beebe in Arkansas to the governor of New York to Arnold Schwarzenegger in California and all governors in between. I see only one governor out there that this last year that has had the guts to stand up to Barack Obama and tell him, you're not wanted, you're not needed. The people of Louisiana, this is our land. And we don't need you here. We need help. We don't need government watchdogs coming down here just to look over our shoulder. Fortunately, the Louisiana governor is not up for election this year. If he was, he'd probably win by a landslide and they'd push him into the presidency because he's a constitutionalist. But everybody, there's only about three or four women in Congress that has stood up to Obama. They're all Republicans. But they've taken their lives and put them on the line on the floor of the House. And they told Obama off left and right. And they just happen to be women. There's only two congressmen that are male that have, and they happen to be Republican. And now I hear these stories that, well, I'm distancing myself from Obama. This shouldn't be done. This shouldn't be done. I'm a Democrat, all true and blue. But, Obama shouldn't have passed the Obama health care bill. Well, wait a minute. If he shouldn't have passed the Obama health care bill, why didn't you vote for it? As far as I'm concerned, it's just like the commanding officer of the VFW. He found out that his PAC committee for the VFW had given away $50 million over the course of the last year to Republican and Senate and to the presidency election or governor elections around the United States because of one little simple, because they supported the agendas of the VFW in the military agenda. But these same political entities, the same exact political entities miss the big picture that the VFW stands for. Because every military man that has gone to war to do one major basic thing, and that is to protect the people of the United States, its constitutional law. And the VFW PAC told the commanding officer of the VFW, well, these, we're not going to rescind any of this. We're supporting this governor and this governor and this senator and that senator because they support VFW agendas. But they didn't support the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, the Tenth Amendment, and they darn well started divorcing themselves from protecting the First Amendment. Five of the top 10 amendments to the Constitution, these same governors, senators, and congressmen vote against those issues and are voting in communist, Nazism, Stalinism agendas.
Yeah, and they're knowingly permitting infiltrators to enter.
And they knowingly refuse to protect the borders of the United States. They knowingly put in homophobias, homosexuals, lesbians, and pedophiles in government jobs. You don't need a pedophile running the Department of Education, ladies and gentlemen. You don't need a queer homosexual running and standing over the VA. And you darn well don't need somebody from Monsanto controlling the FDA.
And you don't need one in the Supreme Court.
And you don't damn well need one in the Supreme Court, right? So there's my two cents. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm mad. And yes, I take valerian root to calm down just before the show. And any information presented concerning your health is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure any disease. Please seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician whom you trust before you use any product or therapy discussed today, like going to the vet center. And the reason I have to tell you that is because this disclaimer is not only for your protection. This disclaimer is to protect those men and women at BBS Radio and Don Nikoloff and the rest of the owners and operators over at BBS Radio, because the FDA might come down on, well, that former Marine told Marines that they need to go out to the VFW and get help. You're darn right they need to do that. But that's my personal viewpoint. That's not the viewpoint of this station or this network or this show or any network out there. This is one United States Marines telling you guys, if you served in the military and you've had an injury, you've earned some help. Don't put your pride over on one side of the plate and come to us and let us help. I had to do it. It took me 30 years. But the people over at the vet center, friends of mine, tell me there's been a drastic change in the last 5 years, especially the last year. I don't scream as much, but I don't know about that, Don.
You know, I did some quick research on lithium, and I want to share this with you and the listeners, because I was told that the amounts of lithium in the chemtrails was extremely high. It was at a dangerous level. And I know that they use lithium to treat, as I mentioned at the top of the show, bipolar depressive order disorders, and also other types of therapy, even unipolar depression. Let me read something to you here. This is from the Department of Medicine, University of Wales College of Medicine. Now, there's some big words here. Don't let the words scare you. Pay attention to words like thyroid, for example, or synthesis. Lithium is used in the prophylaxis prophylaxis of bipolar depressive disorder in augmentation treatment of depression and in the therapy of some cases of unipolar depression. Lithium affects cell function via its inhibitory action on adenosine triphosphate, or actually triphosphatase activity, cyclic adenosine monophosphate, and intracellular enzymes. The inhibitory effect of lithium on inositol phospholipid metabolism affects signal transduction and may account for part of the action of the cation in manic depression. Lithium also alters the in vitro response of cultured cells to thyrotropin-releasing hormone and can stimulate DNA synthesis. Now, they're speaking of ingesting it, but imagine if you don't need lithium and this is what's going on. Now, it goes on. Lithium is concentrated by the thyroid and inhibits thyroidal iodine uptake. It also inhibits iodotriosine coupling, alters thyroglobulin structure, and inhibits thyroid hormone secretion. The latter effect is critical to the development of hypothyroidism and goiter. Effects on brain deiodinase enzymes and alterations in thyroid hormone receptor concentration in the hypothalamus are under investigation in relation to the therapeutic effect of lithium. This goes on describing this process here, but when you start to read some of the experiments, they're experimenting on rats, mice, hamsters, and people. And the particular people they have picked are those with Down syndrome and dwarfs. This is like reading something out of a Frankenstein novel when you get down to it. And that they're spraying these high quantities. What I did is I Googled effects of lithium. That's basically all I Googled. Because people are going to be breathing this. They're going to be coming into contact with this. This is going to get in the water supply, in the food supply, in the food chain, regardless of whether you're a vegetarian or a carnivore. There's got to be something that puts the immune system at risk as well. And we're talking about totally different amounts than what's being described in this paper. And as I get more information, I'm supposed to get an update on the most recent ones, because this has been something a little bit different. Different looking, darker types of chemtrails, and it's being dealt with from our friends from beyond this insane planet. So I wanted to at least mention that, and you know, you keep an eye on it too, Drew. I know you will.
You know I'm on top of it.
So, but
anyway, we got to. I'm looking at my clock, and I've got things I got to do here. And as I leave, as we go off the air, ladies and gentlemen, today, Friday in the United States, Saturday noon, and Saturday morning in Australia and New Zealand, for those of you that have tuned in this evening, Friday evening in New Zealand and Australia, in about a number of hours, a little over 15 hours. I'm going to bring on Dr. Gay Laurent, and we're going to just bring forth some more update on her procedures in helping PTSD. And those of you that really don't understand PTSD, it is the inability to basically flip the switch from combat, as being a combat soldier, to being a civilian.
And that's why that captain, United States Army, is on the streets out there in California that Dr. Gay met this week, unable to cope with civilian life. And while we have soldiers out here committing suicide, we now have, Don, more soldiers that have committed suicide than have died in the Gulf War for the last 7 years.
So, yeah, it's a dark subject. It really is. And one's got to think it's a combination of things. You know, it's not just the pressure of the war itself. But I think there's a lot of drugging going on and a lot of exposure to toxicity and just this pretense that somehow this is saving our nation by invading another country.
And just like Major General Butler, my great-great-uncle said, war is a racket. It's only protecting the best interest of the elitist and the Illuminati.
Yeah. Well, Drew,
77 years ago.
Give out some information on your website again for anyone.
My website is the three W's. AMD, that's the three W. The three W's. Alpha Michael Delta dot Echo Lima Echo Quebec Ulysses India Tango Yankee. It's three W's AMD dot EL Equity. com. And if you can't remember that, or that's too big of a mouthful, just type in Drew Malone Raines or Drew Raines. And then just remember, it's a Marine's disposition or Marine. Just remember, Drew Malone Raines, Marine. One of my Marine buddies called me up the other day and he said, "Do you know there's 380,000 hits on your name? When I call it up, you take up the first four pages on Google." Well, I'm not popular, ladies and gentlemen. They hate my guts. I want to let you know that, Don, I appreciate you being on. I want to thank Don over at BBS Radio for allowing the show out there. And, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Gay Lawrence is going to be with me on Friday, PTSD program. You want to learn how to get rid of pain. You want to learn how to take care of some of that bipolar disorder. She's got a remedy. I appreciate if you come and listen, if you have the time. If you don't have the time, it's archived. All my shows are archived from my website, free to download, free to listen to at your leisure. Oh, and by the way, the News and Views goes out 5 days a week, free of charge. Just sign up. It's posted at 0800 every morning in the United States, Central Standard Time, midnight in Brisbane, when the University of Australia, Brisbane, shuts their computers down. When they boot them back up, the News and Views is automatically posted around the world. 25,000 distribution point, 25,800 plus at last count. And I appreciate all of you that come and listen. If I could just get $1 from all of you guys that get the News and Views once a year, I'd be sitting in high cotton. But that's okay. Don't worry about me. Take care of your family. Get you some water. Get you some toilet paper. Get your food, your ammo. And as Colorado Al would say, make sure your boomer is clean because you're going to need it. Thank you, Don.
Okay, Drew. Thanks for being on the show. Keep up the great work you're doing. And I'll see you next Monday on your show.
Oh, you are? Oh, good. I was wondering when you was going to come to Little Rock. I'm still looking for that beef jerky.
Yeah, you got two guys going to give you some now, huh?
Yeah. Well, Daryl's on his way in. He'll be here Monday.
Right.
You'll All be right. off the hook after Monday.
All right. You have a good night, Drew.
God bless.
Get some rest, and I'll talk to you soon. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. And tonight's guest, Drew Malone Raines III. Want to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting the show, either live or on an archive. Over at BBS Radio, I want to thank both Seth Hendrick and Don Newsom on the sound, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, most of all you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us tomorrow night when my special guest will be scientist, inventor Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.